Blog Talk Radio.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
Listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Land of barren
And land of eagle, land that gave us birth and blessing, land that called us ever homewards. We will go home across the mountains. We will go home, we will go home, we will go home across the
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that puts family first will always defeat the house that puts the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first.
Draupnir.
A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position.
Geiri, Preiki.
Regardless of his own selfish desires.
Right there on his hammer it says the word Ray Holt. That is the answer to every bit of this. This is how you do this. You do this through racial holy war. That is the only thing that will ever, ever bring about any kind of hope or solace for our people. Racial holy war. Possibly imagine anybody could ever say to anybody. First and foremost, we must secure the existence of our people and future for white children.
They're here.
And if somebody wants to ask you why that is important, it is important because just like Dr. Lewis said earlier, we paraphrase because the beauty of the white area woman must not perish from the earth. That is the answer to all of it, period. I think one of the most important things we could ever do, and I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of juvenile thing, if you do not know the 14 words, use your motherfucking fingers and learn them tonight. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. If you cannot say that, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much you love your race. Secondly, the most important thing that I think I could possibly share to my pit. Hello.
They want you eliminated. Don't give them the pleasure. So there it is, boys and girls. The hard to swallow pill that too many of our people have been putting off taking for far too long. They don't want to accept that this is a war to the knife, or that they are the ones who will be stuck like a pig and left to die by their diverse friends. And don't make the mistake of thinking that if you abide by the law and obey the powers that be, that you can win this fight. We have already reached a point where the law is failing us. And if you don't believe me, just ask some of our LS members who are currently sitting in Virginia jails because they had the audacity to defend themselves against physical attacks by mobs of Negroes at Charlottesville. When the law falls into the hands of evil men and is perverted from its true purpose, then free men are morally bound to resist and overthrow such tyranny, and with violence if necessary. There's a well-known ancient Latin phrase, si vis pacem, para bello. If you want peace, prepare for war. The time has come to get plumb mad dog meat. And then if you lose your head and give up, then you neither live nor win. And that's just how it is. I say to you, in imitation of that great Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, war to the knife and the knife to the hill!
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Turn on the light! Welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You are listening to the Sunny County Show, and I am your host, Sunny motherfucking T, bitches. If you want to call in or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. You can follow us on various social media outlets as we go get and expand our range just a little bit. You can check us out. We still have a presence on Fascist Book at Saitama's show, but obviously my previous profile has been disabled because I am a non-conforming white male goy who likes to actually speak his fucking mind. So I don't have any link to that page anymore, but there's still links on there to check out from when I had the profile before. However, we're very much active on Telegram at Resolution RDO and at St. Thomas Show. You can also follow me on Gab at Resolution RDO, at St. Thomas Show, and, of course, at Real St. Thomas. We're on Parler at St. Thomas Show and on Getter at St. Thomas Show. So those are the main ones you can check us out on to follow us there on other parts of social media. So we've had a lot of things go on here the last several months, just many different things going on, not only here on the St. Thomas Show, but also here at Resolution Radio Network. We've been trying to change a couple shows around a little bit. We've had some hosts come and go, and some other shows where there's been some formatting issues, and so that's why we've had a little bit of a delay trying to get the programs up and running. Plus myself, I've got my hands full with a lot of shit right now. So I just absolutely feel like I'm overwhelmed as far as just trying to be a timekeeper, trying to get several different projects done at the same time, running out of literally, just like with it being winter time right now, just not having enough time in the day to get shit done in a quick manner. Or at the same stroke, we do have some good stuff coming up as far as some additional programs that we're going to be adding to the roster, especially as it gets closer to spring. I have a couple of hosts that are, I should say, helping to develop their programs. Some are trying to get over a little stage fright. Others just trying to figure out how to format a show. They have a lot of good opinions, and I think they have a lot of great ideas. They just haven't done a radio program before. There's no real solid format. It's just the fact that I'm just trying to get them to kind of pop their cherry, so to speak, and get them up and running. So that's what we're looking for overall. Definitely something we're checking into. Some other cool stuff that's coming up as well is that some of the bands that are out there, many of them trying to maintain, obviously, a form of living by touring, other bands out there want to keep talking shit. So that's another issue itself, is the fact that between the Rittenhouse trial and the fake plandemic, we're getting to really see who some of these characters really are. For example, I have been a diehard Kiss fan since February of 1988 when I was watching Dial MTV and the Reason to Live video, which of all things a fucking ballad, me being a dude listening to shit at the time. A ballad? Really? Ballads are for chicks, man. Those are the things that really gets me there, is the fact that a ballad got me into a band like Kiss. So, and actually it's still one of my favorite Kiss songs, actually. That being said, though, I've always enjoyed that and have really enjoyed a lot of that stuff over the years. But, and I was a diehard Kiss fan for the longest fucking time. And I've even gotten some friends and a couple of family members into them at least a little bit. But the thing that gets me the most is that Paul, the last few years, have really started to show the true colors. Like, I didn't find out till many years later that Paul Stanley was Jewish. I knew Gene Simmons was, but I didn't know Paul Stanley was until much later. And interesting enough, though, I've learned when you, even in politics, when you listen to what your enemy says about you, oftentimes they're calling out things for what they are. People could try to dismiss it, or the media could try to smudge it as much as possible. But when you listen to other people talk about those individuals, oftentimes they're speaking the truth. So I remember shortly after the reunion tour of 96, when they came out with Psycho Circus, I remember reading an interview with Peter Criss, I think it was in 1999, and he was talking about Gene and Paul, but more on Paul, actually. And one of the things he said was, you know, everybody thinks, you know, Gene's all about the money and the whole Kiss image and this, that, and the other, and to some extent that is true. Definitely the main one when it comes to the whole marketing campaign. But when it comes to contractual agreements, he says, Paul is the one you really got to watch out for. He's the type of guy that when you sit down and read the contract, by the time he's halfway down the street and you start reading the contract, you realize he just slit your throat. So I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So basically, he has very much become a contractual guy and some other shit. Not only that, but just as an interesting thing, I did not know, as a Kiss fan for 30-some-odd years, I did not know Paul Stanley even had a sister. I was under the impression he was an only child. I had no idea he had a sister. I'm assuming it's a younger sister. Because Paul's, he should be cracking 70 next month, if I remember correctly. I think he was born January 1942. But anyways, she had come out recently and really lambasted him after the death of their father, because of the fact that it was several hours before he even contacted her. Actually, I don't even think he even contacted her. I think she actually had to call the hospital and find out that he had been dead for like 6.5 hours. So Paul did not even try to contact her. So not that they don't have a relationship, it's just, said he's very cold. He's very much into his persona, and when it comes to other things, he's actually completely apathetic when it comes to other matters. And it's interesting. Probably more people that would probably drop some stuff on that would actually probably say that. Now, as much as Kiss was sitting there bragging about how every member was very fully vaccinated, Gene and Paul both winded up with COVID. And not too long after the Dayton, Ohio show had been rescheduled. Then it was finally rescheduled, and then they were supposed to play. And then an hour and a half before showtime, Kiss canceled the damn show because of the fact that they announced that Paul's guitar tech had died from COVID. And I can only say, well, dude, he probably didn't die from COVID. He probably died from the fucking shot that you probably forced him to take. Because basically, my understanding was, he was a long-time friend of the family. So for him to be around the family members, he had to be completely fully vaccinated. And obviously, I would assume that's probably what happened because they conveniently left that part out. So they totally canceled the fucking show, and there's still no fucking rescheduled date. So at this point, Kiss has basically said, fuck you, Dayton, Ohio, who's actually one of the big blue-collar work towns that had supported that band early in their fucking career and for decades. And so that really has pissed me off personally, because we spent a lot of fucking money on those damn tickets. And then to top it off, Gene Simmons recently comes out on a fucking interview and says basically, oh, those don't want to get vaccinated, you are an enemy. that you basically, you don't have any freedoms when it comes to stuff like this. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. This is coming from an immigrant to my country whose mother supposedly was a Holocaust survivor. And you want to fucking tell me that you want to take individuals that you disagree with and you want them to be rounded up, have their rights taken from them, and to be basically placed in FEMA camps. This is coming from a fucking Hungarian Jew whose mother supposedly was a Holocaust survivor. Wow, that's not calling the kettle black. That has infuriated me so fucking much to show just how shallow Gene Simmons is when it comes to arbitrarily wanting to piss on all of our rights. The very country that he came to that gave him the right to even say that fucking bullshit, he wants to piss on all of us. Fuck that motherfucker. That's how I feel about him. As far as I'm concerned, he can kiss my fucking white ass because I'm at the point where, you know what? I am just actually going to go piss on this guy. I am actually, at this point, I'm actually thinking about seriously getting my money back for those fucking tickets. And say specifically, there is no fucking rescheduled dates for that show. It has been canceled. So according to my terms and conditions from Ticketmaster, I am basically allotted a full refund. So then after I do, I said, by the way, it's not just that, but because Gene Simmons ran his fucking mouth, that probably a good portion of his fan base are probably non-vaxxed individuals. So screw this motherfucking Jew. He's not going to take my money anymore. So some other rockers have really pissed me off recently, too. I mean, obviously, I've mentioned him on this program. Tommy Lee basically bragging about, fuck all you Trump supporters. When we take over the White House again, we're all going to wear pussy hats and saying, fuck you, and basically essentially talk about coming after us. And so he doesn't realize that probably 80% of his fan base are Trump supporters. Nikki Sixx backed up his fucking boast and essentially said some shit, too. And so I'm like, you know what? Fuck Motley Crue. So what I did was I took all the goddamn songs off my playlist, and I'm actually one button away from deleting all their fucking tracks on my external hard drive because of the fact that I'm not going to listen to a piece of shit motherfucker who basically wants to piss on me because I have a different opinion than he does. And then some of these other fucking celebrities coming out, and I keep seeing these little blurbs at the bottom of news stories. Oh, celebrities give their opinions on the Rittenhouse verdict. I'm like, I don't give a flying fuck what some Hollywood asshole fucking thinks about the Rittenhouse thing. And then I thought about, you know what? Go ahead and talk your spiel, motherfucker. Let me know what you really think about the Rittenhouse verdict. That way I know to exclude you from my entertainment factor. So it's very simple. I will not fucking see their fucking movies. I will not go to their fucking concerts. And I will not buy their albums. And I would be vocal about it, too. So go ahead, celebrities. Run your fucking mouth. So that way I know that you're the common piece of shit that you are. I mean, it's a fucking amazing to me that some of these fuckers talk about the president, especially like Trump or Bush, for example, and not expect any repercussions. I mean, can you imagine Clark Gable being the king of Hollywood, running his fucking mouth by FDR? Wow. You never heard of that fucking guy ever again. He's been blackballed so goddamn fast, this fucking headless thing. Clark who? Oh, especially if it was right before the casting of Gone with the Wind, you never would have fucking heard of that guy ever again. No, sir. So this is some of the shit that's really pissed me off. And in some cases, it's really got me perturbed. So perturbed to the point that I have really becoming apathetic towards so many celebrities. I don't really give two shits about their opinions anymore. I really don't. Now, I respect their opinion to speak out. At the same stroke, if you talk smack, I like to know because I tell you what, I will definitely no longer be buying tickets to your show. I'll give you an example. I had just recently saw the new Dune, which I don't know why they made this for what, the third or fourth fucking time. I saw the new Dune, and it's actually considered part one at the theater recently, at my local budget theater. And I do it because of the fact that I enjoy eating the popcorn, sitting there, and doing my thing, especially after a day at work, and just relax, especially since I was the only sucker in the goddamn theater. So I went in and watched it. And I have to say, some of the special effects were better, though I still like the original from 1984 a lot better. Plus the fact that Kyle MacLachlan was an up-and-coming star, plus that you had Patrick Stewart in it, and of course Sting made his only film debut, being the boisterous one of the brothers. I don't remember all the details of the exact story because I'm not a big fan of the Dune series. But I think it's kind of interesting. So here they put Jason Momoa in as Duncan or whatever. And the thing that gets me is, dude, what was the purpose of even putting him in there? He had very minimal presence. I don't know why people think he's such a great actor, because he's not. I mean, what chances he had in Game of Thrones to kill his character off so goddamn fast, never had a chance to develop. Secondly, I think it was interesting, is that really he helped redefine Aquaman, because of all the DC characters of the Justice League, Aquaman was always the weakest, because if he's out of the water for too long, he's useless. So, plus the fact with the orange fucking chest and fucking green legs, you're just kind of like, whatever. But his version of Aquaman gives him much more of a masculine and badass approach to it. And arguably, in some of the DC movies, nearly stole the show from the other characters. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But for the most part, and his Aquaman movie actually was okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. So of all the DC movies I've seen so far, I thought Batman vs. Superman was actually pretty good, even though it's some of the storyline's bullshit. And, of course, Wonder Woman stole the show. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Now, I grew up with Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. I just thought she was a stunning woman. That was my first love as a fucking pubescent boy. And she still looks great for her fucking God. But they made damn sure that they did not want to cast a woman like her because of the fact that she's of Nordic descent, very attractive, and blue-eyed and fairly busty. No, they made sure they got an Israeli Jew to play Wonder Woman. So most of these shows they have out now, the casting is so terrible. They either are purposely putting blacks in as major white roles, like there's a Joan of Arc in the BBC with a black woman. And they have totally pissed on so many good fucking roles and characters with these minorities. It's pretty fucking obvious. I mean, even the new James Bond, the last one with Daniel Craig, was good. But I saw an excellent meme that showed Pierce Brosnan on a motorcycle with a chick on the back. Said the how much we miss masculinity in James Bond movies. Because in the Daniel Craig one, he's on the back of a bike, right, bitch, behind a black chick. And I was just like, he supposedly is the new 007. So I think that whole thing really tarnished that entire film for Daniel Craig. I almost walked out of the theater because I was so disappointed by that shit that they might even possibly consider making 007 not only female, but black. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So the movies have become so politically correct anymore, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's bad. Very bad. And these are the one things that I can definitely not appreciate with these films anymore. They're absolutely terrible. So it's very piss poor anymore what's going on with some of this stuff. And it makes you want to turn the movies off. I also heard that Don Johnson and Cheech Marin have actually done a new two-hour Nash Bridges TV film. And someone had told me they had seen it recently, and it's very PC. So basically they're trying to neutralize Don Johnson's masculinity as a lead male role. So, again, he's at the age where he'll take anything because, in fact, he's trying to keep his name out there, but he's trying to finalize his nest egg because, obviously, he has a younger wife with two or three, at least, younger kids. So, you know, nothing against Don Johnson. He's actually one of my favorite actors. But they're supposedly working on a new Miami Vice miniseries and on a channel by a guy named Miami Bo. Bits and pieces of this thing has come out, but it makes no sense at all. I mean, a lot of it seems to be focused around Castillo, but the storylines don't make sense. I don't even know if Philip Michael Thomas is even in it, because all the footage they show him looks like from season 5 of Miami Vice, because whenever you see Thomas now, he's got a long white beard. So, looking like Charlie Daniels. I mean, I don't know what the fuck's going on, if it's even going to air or what, but the footage is supposed to show of Johnson. He does not have a consistent look. Some days he's got double, other days he's got a full beard, and then the next thing you know, he seems clean-shaven again. So I don't know what the fuck is going on there. So, and he keeps driving the white Testarossa, and it's a different model because I do believe this one has two mirrors on it because the original only has one. So those are some issues that need to be addressed because they're taking good quality shows and are ruining them because they have run out of actual show ideas. And it makes – I was just double-checking here with my guest. I had some computer issues starting off here, so I had to start the computer twice to get up and running. And I had a good lady who was going to come on who I follow on Gab. She's actually got some very interesting stuff. She's going to talk about PTSD issues. And she had to reschedule because the show got started off late. Well, that's a bummer. We'll have to schedule her for next week. Okay, so I have really got miffed at a lot of these celebrities because the fact that I really don't give a shit what they think anymore. And some of these, and then some that do step out and try to be patriotic, they get slammed. I mean, I've not been a huge Ted Nugent fan, but I definitely enjoy his music, and I have seen him live several times over the years, and I appreciate his tenacity and his willingness not to back down. So those are things I really appreciate him as far as a patriot. To the point where, right before Trump was running, but I started seeing Ted Nugent for president stickers and stuff coming out of bumpers and shit, which I think would be interesting, actually. So here's my situation with the whole Trump thing. We know Trump got screwed. He had a landslide victory in the past election. He totally got screwed, okay? That being said, let's just say for the sake of argument that he didn't get screwed, that he did actually lose the election because of the fact that some of his shit, because the stuff he says with his mouth was pretty fucking bad. One of the things that really got me recently was someone had sent me a clip of Ronald Reagan and one of his little quips. And he was talking about that a guy decided to run for office as a Republican. For the first time as a Republican in that area for whatever the office he was running for, maybe it was Congress, whatever. And so he went around to campaign. So he comes around to his family, and it's like, you know, these are all diehard Democrats for like decades, okay? And so basically he comes up and said that he wanted to talk to somebody. He's like, hold on a minute, I got to get Maul. He's never seen a Republican before. And so he comes out there, you know, and says, oh, well, wanted to go out and do a campaign there in their town, and then he basically had nothing, looking for a podium and didn't have one. So basically he was, if they said, he tried to use something that that Mrs. Truman tried to get him to use all those years ago, which is essentially a pile of shit. And then here, stand on this and do his speech, and after he finished his speech, he basically stated that, wow, I've never heard a Republican speak before. Those that were actually very good speech. He's like, yeah, I've never actually used a Democrat platform before, which means it's been a pile of shit. So I thought that was actually pretty good because that's a headlift. But that's one of the things I loved about Ronald Reagan. He had a great sense of humor and good storytelling skills. Trump does not have that at all. Trump sounds like a really bad blues singer because he often repeats himself, and sometimes he just babbles. And I have to admit, though, it not since the days of Chancellor Hitler has you ever seen a world leader have huge rallies like this. Because when you go and look at the footage and stuff from Nazi Germany in the 1930s, he had to fill stadiums, okay? Because he was essentially a rock star. I mean, he saved that country from collapsing within 2 years. And you got to keep asking yourself, why is he so villainized so goddamn much? And some of it's because he borrows usury. He borrows interest on loans. And that was the main thing of reason why the globalists were able to bankrupt that country is because they were able to use high interest loans. And, of course, inflation went through the fucking roof. So he was able to bring that stuff back. Now, that being said, one of my favorite moments with Hitler is when they're getting ready to open up the beginning of the construction of the Autobahn. And he's out there with a shovel and doing a photo op and, you know, shoveling some of the dirt stuff to show that they're ready to get this project going. Now, what would have been really fucking awesome is if he actually took off his, off his linen coat, rolled up his sleeves, and stood out there with fellow workers and actually shoveled for several hours. Now, that would really endear somebody to a leader because the fact that shows this guy is ready to jump in there and actually get dirty with you and actually coordinate some of the shit. Now, that's something I could see Trump doing just because that's who he is, because the fact that he's actually gotten into the shit so that way he can learn how things work because his dad taught him that way. So I think that's actually very powerful and would be an excellent propaganda tool. So, you know, I mean, I look at it from a media perspective as well as a video editor myself, and I look at some of the news footages of World War II era stuff, you know, allies as well as Axis powers. And I looked at the stuff, and given the time period of the 30s and 40s on how they did broadcast media and films, I have to say it's interesting because, in fact, I looked at some of the techniques, the lighting techniques that were popular at the time. I mean, you look at various movies. I mean, something as interesting as the Maltese Falcon or even Casablanca, look at the way it's lit. Western films, for example, oftentimes will use the reflective shields to brighten up the dark shadows, especially if there's a sun behind the actors. And you can see them moving a lot in some of the footage. So look at some of the lighting techniques. It actually makes it interesting. So if you ever watch Triumph of the Will, which is Lynn Riefenstahl's film of Hitler and the Third Reich, some of the footage that she edited was actually phenomenal. As a matter of fact, George Lucas said he was inspired by that propaganda film with the closing scene of the original Star Wars in 1977, where Leia is giving Luke and Han medals and stuff and how they're walking up the stairs and everything else, which was inspired by Hitler, Himmler, and Goering walking up the long road up there in Nuremberg to Hindenburg's casket. So that was actually very interesting that Lucas was inspired by that particular piece of footage. So, and again, you see a lot of filmmakers and directors talk about films they'd seen in the past. For example, Mel Gibson talked about when he was doing Braveheart stuff, as well as Apocalypto, how he was inspired by a lot of the big epic films of the 50s and 60s, where they'd have huge cast extras and large battlefields. For example, Spartacus, for example, when they're rolling down the fiery logs and stuff down the hill towards the Romans, things of that nature. Touch to look at some of the battlefield techniques that they were using at the time. So if you listen to David McCullough's book 1776, we talked about some of the techniques that Washington was using against, it's actually very interesting, some of the similar things that they were doing at that time period. So I would recommend many of McCullough's books, actually. If you don't actually read it, listen to the audiobook of John Adams, the full book. It goes into a lot of his childhood. And if you do get a chance, check out the miniseries John Adams, which starts at Adams returning back to Boston right prior to the Boston Massacre. That in itself is a very powerful miniseries. Very excellently cast, well directed, well edited, and excellent dialogue. And a lot of it's taken right from McCullough's book on John Adams. So I would recommend you check it out. I'd also come across a book a couple of years ago when I was at the bookstore checking out a Kagan event. This is called Ancient World Commanders, and it has an A through Z comprehensive book on various military commanders. I mean, obviously some more big name famous ones and many obscure ones that you never really heard of. This is Ancient World Commanders from the Trojan War to the Fall of Rome. This is written by Angus Constam, and it's got the great commanders of the ancient world, the leaders who influenced the battles. Some very minuscule, some are very major. So from the mythological warrior Achilles to the Chinese general and strategist Zhu Yu, this superbly illustrated book describes more than 160 prominent war leaders of the ancient world from the beginning of recorded history about 2000 BC to the end of the 5th century AD. The fascinating profiles of the great military commanders such as Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, are arranged alphabetically. While geographically the book covers wars and conflicts that occurred in a vast region from Eastern Europe to the Middle East to India and China. The descriptions provide much detail on ancient leaders' successes or failures in battles and on their methods of waging war, such as the reader may compare the prowess of leaders of the great formal armies of the Greeks and Romans with that of the devil may care nonetheless fearsome and effective barbarian hordes. Ancient world commanders includes virtually every commander whose presence on the ancient battlefield made a difference to the outcome of the battle or whose triumphs and defeats have reverberated throughout history. Whether successful or famous or unsuccessful and obscure, they all play a part in building up the tapestry of ancient military achievement. So this is one of those books I just had to pick up on a whim. Very excellent illustrations, pictures, and descriptions. It's an excellent book. This is something you definitely want to include into your classical reading material if you're homeschooling your children. That is true. Definitely worth checking out. So, let's see if my board's kind of half frozen here, so I'm going to check to make sure it works. Yes, I believe so. Okay, we're going to try to do a real quick station break, and we'll be back right after these brief messages.
It's not just our water we need to filter. It's not just our food that needs to be cleaned. It's the air we're breathing, especially for our children. The artificial particulates, the chemicals, is absolutely weighing down our immune systems. The same team based right here in America that brought you the Alexa Pure groundbreaking water filtration systems have now developed Alexa Pure Breeze. Whether it's your home or office, you owe it to yourself, your coworkers, your family, your children, to do the best job you can to purify your air. The elite are masters at poisoning our environment while themselves doing things that mitigate or avoid most of the toxic effects for themselves. The general public doesn't. The Alexa Pure Breeze would be a steal at $300, $400, $500. One of these systems can keep 800 square feet incredibly clean. This is a system I'm personally putting in throughout my house, replacing older, more expensive filters that didn't do as good a job. Find out why this system is so revolutionary today at InfoWarsStore.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants. and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
May the blessing of Tyr be upon you.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com. You're listening to The St. Thomas Show on the Resolution Radio Network.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You are listening to the Sonny Thomas Show, and I am he, Sonny motherfucking T. If you want to call in and listen now, it's 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. So the title of the show tonight is called Crossbows and Arrows. I mean, the reason why I did that, because it's kind of on the whim, because of the fact that I have just recently purchased a crossbow, and just having some work done to it, because I got this as a really cool thing there. What is this? Huh. I just noticed something on my board I never noticed before is a hand went up. So, wow, I must have done some upgrades, and I haven't really read some of the keys. That's funny. So, I had recently bought a crossbow during an event here locally, and actually it was not in bad shape, but there was a couple little things that needed to be done to it. I'm missing the foot stirrup, and some of the cord was starting to unravel a little bit, but otherwise it's not too bad. I could have still fired it. A few good shots for sure, and I went and picked up some bolts. I think I got some 20-inch bolts for it, so that way I can try to get some use out of it, and this, that, and the other, but I wanted to make sure it was correct. So I took it up to one of these outdoor places and went to get it restrung, and also contact the manufacturers to make sure I could get a new foot stirrup for it, as well as I'm looking for a case. So it's actually been an interesting toy. A buddy of mine this past summer had picked up one for about $200, and I was able to use it. And another friend of ours had dialed in a scope really well. And considering I never used this bow before, this crossbow, I was able to actually hone in on where my target was, and actually the bolt went exactly where I shot it at. Even if it was just under the target, it was spot on. I was like, wow, this is fucking cool. So those are some things I think is interesting, because not only learn to use those for sports, but you can also use them for hunting. And I would recommend, definitely, if you have children, start teaching them with a small little kitty bow, like a bear bow for like a 16-pound pole, to help get their hand and eye coordination as well as build the muscle memory and the forearms. And then you can start moving up to BB gun pistols and targets, and then start shooting cans off walls, et cetera, et cetera. And then start working your way up to like actual crossbows and full size, compound bows and things of that nature, and then actually start working your way up to actual pistols and rifles. You'd be surprised how well things are actually there. So let me check something here, because I'm not able to access all my features here, so I got to make sure it works right. But I'm going to take a chance here. I got to call in. I see a little hand up. So this is the first time I've seen this on my board before, so this is something new. I wonder if this might actually be my guest that I had scheduled, but she was saying something came up because the computer takes so long to reboot. See if this is Doberman Mama and see if it pops up. Okay, air code 231. Who's this?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. My name's Joe. Are you new to Blog Talk Radio?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Okay. So what I'm doing, I'm pulling together a debate. I've got 3 volunteers on the conservative side and 3 volunteers so far on the liberal side. And there are 3 topics. Racism, immigration, and I forget what the other topic is now. The Fed. Taking a look at listening to your show for a few minutes and taking a look at one of the photographs there with Charles Heston and the Planet of the Apes, would you be interested in taking up the side either for racism? In other words, blacks say there's a lot of racism that's keeping them down. Conservatives say systemic racism doesn't exist. So if you were to volunteer for the debate and do it for racism, would you want to take the side that there is systemic racism, or would you want to take the side that there isn't?
That's actually very interesting, because the fact that there are pros and cons of that, because the demographics are changing so rapidly that the founding stock in this country have let shit slide so bad. Because, it's funny you bring this up, because I was just thinking about this the other day. When you look at my grandparents' generation, which is a Depression era, even during that time period, we're talking 30s and 40s and then 50s, just how they would identify each other. For all the different racial epithets that they would have for immigrants that would come here, even though they're from Europe. Obviously calling Italian people WOPs or Guineas, Polacks, Jews call them Kikes, even the Irish call them Micks. So this is interesting, because they weren't necessarily being nasty per se, but this is how they identified each other, because of the fact that, and none of that, but they would still have some criteria, for example, like, It still would be questionable for a German, someone like a daughter of German descent, to marry an Irishman. So they don't like the thought of kraut make babies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kraut with a frog. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting, because I brought up on the show many times before, the fact that the Irish have played a major role into the development of this country because of the labor as well as the slavery issue. One of the things that Dinesh D'Souza's documentary on America was he brought up the Irish slave trade, which is significantly larger than the African slave trade, and that the average cost of an Irish slave was 5 shillings, where a black slave was 50 shillings. So it was more beneficial to get more Irish slaves, especially Irish women slaves, because at one particular point, the Emerald Isle was almost depleted of 2/3 of its population due to slavery issues, and then the famine just made it worse when people left. So, and of course, many of them came during the Civil War, so as soon as they got off the boat, their hand of the rifle says, oh, you want to join our country? Great, here's a rifle, I'm going to go fight for it. So it's like, what the fuck? But what's interesting is we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, especially with this country being English stock originally. Why don't we celebrate St. George's Day or even St. Andrew's Day? Because of the fact that most of the founding stock of this country are British. So my thing
British
is,
and Dutch, yeah. The question is, if you were to do the debate, and I don't know if I'm going to get it together, because I'm going to be the moderator if I do get it together, and it'll be done in a Supreme Court fashion. In other words, I will keep everything on track. People won't wander off with their particular, what they think would be their own cases, and I'll keep everything on a logical bearing. But would you want to argue that there is such a thing as systemic racism or that there isn't systemic racism?
Well, you know, I would say there should be. And there shouldn't be. And the reason I say that is because this country had prospered because of the fact we had technically systemic racism since its inception until the 1960s. At the same stroke, if we're all supposed to be quote-unquote Americans, we should all work together. And what's happening is since the 60s, we've actually been doing balkanization as well as the last 10, 15 years, especially with that usurper Obama in the White House, racism has gotten significantly worse in this country, and the blacks are actually pushing for segregation. So the very thing that they bitched about sitting in the back of the bus, for example, one thing in my experience going through public school is, where do the blacks always sit when they get on the bus? The back of the bus. Why? Well, there's two reasons. One is because they see the bus driver as the point of authority on a bus, as well as maybe the aide. And so they sit at the back of the bus because that is the farthest they can get away from any type of accountability. So psychologically, that's why they sit in the back of the bus. So that way they can hide, do their little things, maybe scheme, whatever. And that's why they sit in the back of the bus. And that's the thing that really pisses me off the most. They bitched and moaned about Rosa Parks sitting back here. They made a big old stink about it. And then when they could sit, okay, you can sit anywhere in a bus. Where do they sit? Back of the bus. So, I mean,
I never heard that kind of argument before. So, in other words, you're thinking and saying that blacks sat in the back of the bus because they were afraid of authority or wanted not to be held accountable for whatever they were going to do, either on the bus or off the bus. It still doesn't answer. See, the systemic racism, when you go on a black show, they're always talking about how whites are keeping them down.
Yes.
So there are people who say, no, that's not the real narrative, even though that's being spread. And the blacks from BTR will say, well, there is systemic racism. So, again, if you want to volunteer, do you want to say, yes, there is systemic racism or no?
Yeah, I would say that there is and there should be. And the reason why I say that is because I go back to a statement that John Wayne said in his interview to Playboy in 1971, which is why they shot
down. In other words,
John Wayne Day.
I know. Yeah, you want segregation and you want the government to enforce it. Okay. So,
I'll tell you, two guests that I would have loved to have had on my show would have been that Shabazz from the new Black Panther Party, as well as Jess Scoot from the National Socialist Movement. Because even though they would look like polar opposites, if you actually look at the issues, they're one and the same. If you saw Shabazz on some of the Fox News clips that they showed him, he was actually really chastising why a black woman would be messing around with a white man because of the fact that they see
well, he's all for black. He's all for not just for black power. He wants he's a black the new Black Panthers for black supremacy, just like the National Socialist Movement is for white supremacy, even though they try to hide it by saying they just want no white nationalism. They just have USA nationalism. But
well,
when you dig deeper,
neighborhoods, they want their neighborhoods, they want their own schools, et cetera, et cetera. And we had tried that before Brown versus Board of Education, and what happened?
Mm-hmm.
All the black schools performed poorly. Now, that being said, if you look back before that decision was rendered, I don't think they had the crime and violence in the school systems as they did after desegregation, because back then they were still very Christian, and so they knew they had to have certain family structures, and to be even remotely accepted by whites, they had to have very similarities to whites. Because in the 1950s, they had to look out for each other if they wanted to survive. Now, they knew the white folks they could count on to work with them, this, that, and the other, but they knew it was always going to be an uphill battle. After the civil rights movements and the Voting Rights Acts of 64 and 65, it destroyed the black family structure. The illegitimacy rate went through the fucking roof. Now it's like 95%, which you listen to their music and stuff, how do you get
well, not 95%, but in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and this is an argument that I've said, that when there was a forced segregation, blacks had better neighborhoods, they had better statistics, they had a more solid nuclear family. What else? Oh, yeah. And being born out of wedlock, I think it was like around 6%, and they had a good economy, and they had a better graduation rate. They even had one high school, which was the best high school in the country. I think they it was called Dunbar. And then in the 60s and 70s, everything went to shit for them. So, yeah. Okay, so if I put it together, then you're going to want to argue that there should be systemic racism, but systemic racism means that the government is deliberately forcing blacks not to enjoy the resources that they as taxpayers are entitled to, and that they should be in forced segregation again. Would that be your argument?
I would say arguably yes, because of the fact that because of the polarization, they've kind of already filled that argument in for us. They don't want to mix with us. They don't want to follow by our rules. If you saw the latest story, this is funny. They basically said that they did not want blacks to go to white companies and also not have monies in white banks, which is funny because there's no such thing as a white bank per se, because most of them are run by Jews. And not only that, they said to put your money in white banks.
But when
banks.
It comes to separation in schools, separating the kids, they don't want that. All right, so I'm going to put you down for...
They do want that now. They don't want to be in white schools anymore, which is fine. Put them back in their neighborhood.
No, they may want a white school and a black school, and they want the historically black colleges, but they don't want to go to a school in which the teachers are going to separate blacks on one side of this classroom and whites on the other, or a black classroom and a white classroom in an integrated school. So there's a difference there. All right, so that's going to be interesting. All right, if I put it together, I'm going to let people know that you believe that there is systemic racism, that the government is keeping blacks down, okay, depriving them of their resources, depriving them of good communities, and depriving them of good schools, and you believe that's the way it should be. Okay. So I don't know how to put you into a category, because it's either conservative or liberal. Your category is definitely white supremacy. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that necessarily, because me, what I classify myself as a Jeffersonian Republican, which means I'm a classical liberal, but there are some things that I follow more natural law as opposed to most of the bullshit laws that they've really egregiously have passed the last 50 years or more. So there is.
So when you say natural, see, to me, natural law means that Constitution doesn't guarantee our freedoms, and our particular so-called right didn't come from God. Because if you're born, you have rights. I'm a libertarian. And as a libertarian, I believe everybody has individual rights and everybody else has the same rights. And as long as we don't encroach upon your rights and you don't encroach upon mine, then everything is fine. But I have a feeling when you say natural law,
exactly,
you're going to say,
now see, that's where I've always been, because the fact that I always go for the individual, because the fact that I'm more of a stoic in that particular thing, that enough individuals will eventually make a collective. Because when you listen to a lot of liberals, they don't believe in nationalism at all. And I'm sitting here going, that's bullshit, because I remember some liberal over in the UK says, whites don't have a culture. Really? Just topography alone creates a culture, because of the fact that the resources that are available in that particular region either going to be plentiful or scarce. And it makes those other people want to go to new lands to either get stuff that they don't have or to expand. So, and we've seen how many nations try to conquer others just because they have maybe better water, maybe better plant
resources.
That's
one of the bases for all conflicts. That's the, you know, all,
right.
all nations want to conquer another nation either because they can or because they have natural resources. Now, one of the rules of this particular debate is that people are going to argue from the same documents. Both sides will have each other's documents. We'll have the links to where they, you know, they supposedly believe that the evidence truly lies, as opposed to the article itself, white papers that the links lead to, because I'm going to be asking questions like, why do you believe what you believe? Where's the evidence? And everybody's going to have access to the same information so that they can argue against the other side's interpretation of that information. But your particular information, if I get it up again, or let's say for the first time, I'm going to have a drop-off site where people can upload their information. So I'll come back to you if I ever get it together, because I have a feeling that people are going to say they want to show up, volunteer, but then when the time comes and they really have to put in the elbow grease, I have a feeling
right.
they're not going to drop out. So,
right. Now, what's interesting is if you actually read the Constitution and if you actually implement it as it's written, it actually works. Now, there are some stuff in there that they're, that are implied powers and those that are – so, I mean, when you actually use it as it's supposed to – and, of course, the Bill of Rights are what's called negative laws. In other words, they put the restrictions on the government. Ninth and Tenth basically states, well, whatever we didn't mention here – you can't do that either. So because of the fact that it gives a little bit more fluidity back to the states to be able to do that. Now, the
back to
the
states, to the people.
Yeah. Now, the biggest problem that I see is that people care more about what their quarterback does in their favorite football team instead of how their congressman's fucking them up the ass. So they can't even probably list who their congressman is, much less probably – you know, all the Supreme Court justices, but they could tell you every single starting player on the draft pick.
Yeah.
So when
that,
you
well,
have,
that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you have this disconnect of reality where you're stuck in this bread and circuses crap all the time and don't know what's going on within the Senate, then you deserve the government and the tyranny that's coming down to you. And so the biggest problem that I see is when someone like Trump comes in, he comes off like a guy like, wow, this guy's really saying what we want to hear and this, that, and the other. And once he gets in there, he was trying to do some of the stuff that he said he was going to do. But when issues that really matter, he quickly abandoned his America First policy and started doing the Israeli First policy. I don't give two shits if our embassy is in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. In my view, we should have no embassy in Israel whatsoever because it's still disputed.
Probably
we're
doing that because I don't like, I don't like our spending billions of dollars, not only with Israel, but with Saudi Arabia, England, or anybody else. We should only be spending our money in a very limited
well,
fashion. Well,
I've been exposed just how much money was being spent on every man, woman, and child in Israel of American taxpayers, and he got a big bullseye on his back for bringing that out. So they threw him in prison for 7 years over that bullshit. So, you know, when someone actually speaks the truth, they do everything to try to stifle them. When somebody comes out with a half bullshit lie, they act like it's gospel. So, yeah, it's interesting because the fact that someone can try to pigeonhole me as being some, you know, some white supremacist or some shit, that's not the case at all. But what John Wayne said in that interview was pretty paramount. He said, well, do you believe in white supremacy? Well, you know, when blacks really start stepping up and actually start contributing and being, you know, active members of society, then I definitely think they should have a place in it. Until they do, then by default we should have white supremacy, because the fact that we're the ones that's actually building the shit and getting the bills paid, so to speak. So I don't think
that's something
any...
you can argue.
Yeah.
And there will be people.
So
who,
until they start stepping up,
will,
and don't get me wrong, there are a lot of blacks out there who actually can find their ass two hands, that are self achievers, and that have really done lots of positive things. But one of the things that really pisses me off is when you do get a successful black person who runs for office, like Herman Cain, he got completely chastised because of the fact that now he's shady himself because of the fact that he came from old money. He was actually came from Pillsbury money and was also the chairman of the Kansas City Fed. So I don't know if you guys
Yeah,
knew
he
that.
Was on the Fed. Right. And he also
so
said that if you want to find out what his foreign policy was, he said they'd have to wait for him. Yeah, and because he did it for Pelosi.
But here's
how much time have you got left on your show? Because I think you only got about a minute left.
I'm saying this is the problem. This guy was a successful entrepreneur. He saved Godfather's Pizza, by the way, as an example, and did a lot of other things, too. He had a very successful radio show, this, that, and the other. So he gets completely chastised because he is a successful black man who arguably could say he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Now, he may have been funded, but he did the hard legwork. So the fact that he is a black man talking conservative viewpoints, he's chastised and called him Uncle Tom by other blacks. See, that's the thing that really pisses me off is that when a black person actually is successful, they're dogged by their own people. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, it's called the, what is it called? The crab in the barrel syndrome. In any case, are you willing to do the volunteer shtick for the debate?
Yeah, I got your information here. So, if you follow me on Gab, go ahead and send me a direct message and we can finish communicating there. I'm definitely interested because I like to see who else you got there. I've had various guests and round tables on here, and we've actually had some pretty interesting as well as heated discussions about similar topics such as that. But like I said, I would have loved to have had Scoop and Shabazz on the same show and probably realize these guys are two sides of the same coin, man. And really, I think both of their arguments would have been completely valid and just because really they're coming from the same argument. And I think it would have been a very interesting debate to find out how much they're very much alike.
Well, the bottom line of the debates would be, yes, we want black nationalism, white nationalism, but we don't want to mix. So that's the bottom line, is that keep out of my neighborhood, I'll keep out of your neighborhood. Yeah.
Now, that being said, if they're going to be segregated, then if we're still within the confines of a United States, all 50 states should obviously have their own sovereignty. We shouldn't be dictated to by a central federal government. You know, that's why.
Yeah, I agree. But I got your, I have your willingness to participate. So I'll get back. Like I said, if I put this together, it's going to be more work than people realize. And I don't even know it's going to be worth my time because I already know what people are going to say. And if I do clamp down on the people, as I plan on doing by assuming the role of the Supreme Court, they won't have anything to say because most people don't think logically, don't know how to present their arguments in a logical fashion. So I don't know if I'm going to go through with it, but at least I got another one.
A lot of liberals have a tendency to argue on an emotional level. That's the problem, is they try to put a human face on an issue and not times that's not how it works.
Yeah, well, conservatives do too. So it would be interesting if I let everybody go at each other's throats, but I wouldn't be allowing that. In any case, I'll get back to you if I forget about it.
That happened to me once. I was at a Dollar General store one time, standing in line, and a gentleman in front of me was having a debate with the cashier or something like that, I think it was. And I don't know exactly how it got started. I just kind of eavesdropped as I was finished reading a magazine article. And talk about something, and then he goes, read your Bible. It's like, Israel's God's country. And I go, really? What the fuck does it make us? If we have in God we trust in our money and all of our buildings and in our mantra, then why the fuck are we not in Israel? See what I'm saying? So that's the problem I had with Christians, because of the fact that the Jews know that they're hoodwinked because their Savior walked in Nazareth. And he's obviously a Jew himself. So, I mean, it's a little hard to have an Abrahamic-based religion and call it white. And why does the Ku Klux Klan use Christianity as their dogma in which to institute their racism, when actually it's a conflict of interest? If they're going to be white supremacists, then they should be pagans. Now, you can go with where in the pagan mantra they want to be.
Well, they're getting away from Christianity anyway. They're going to head into the Muslim Brotherhood.
It's a form of thought control, and to keep it docile, because it's a passive religion by nature. Turn the other cheek and all this other crap.
The Quran? Oh.
Bullshit.
Oh, Christianity, yeah. The Quran, no. So, in any case,
war.
I'm going to let you go.
That is a warlike religion, yes.
Yeah. All right, so take it easy, all right? I'll get back to you if I ever get this together. Okay? Take care.
Something else to bring up, too, you know, that you might want to bring up as well in your issue there is they say that all the – oh, he left. Okay, well, go ahead and take a list. Another thing they talk about, Islam, is supposedly all these great scientific things that they've brought to the forefront, and I don't see how. I heard the only concept they brought was the number zero. And they gave us coffee. That seems to have to be the only two things that Islam has seemed to have contributed to the world as a whole, besides you're an infidel, you must die. Even if you convert, you'll never be accepted because you're never truly a Muslim. You can't wait for Muslim. So, yeah, I have a big issue with theocracy of any sort. And when you use religious dogma and the implementation of any government strategy, especially in a quote-unquote free society, that's not free. So, because the next thing, one thing drives me nuts is some motherfucker opens up that book and tries to cite some Bible passage as an excuse. All that really pisses me off. That's the fierce, man. Because I don't read that bullshit and then sit there and say, well, Ezekiel said, I don't give a flying fuck what Ezekiel said. Who gives a fuck about some Jew prophet? You know, I mean, seriously, you want to go there? Okay, cool. Let me go find some Greek philosopher. Talk about something Aristotle said. Oh, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Even better yet, let's talk about some philosophical Vikings. Yes, I'm sure there's plenty of those we could probably cite. We could also go to other liberal thinkers such as Nietzsche and see what he says. Oh, what about Nostradamus? Oh, shit, Nostradamus. Oh, yeah, let's go see what his predictions say. So, I mean, we've all had thinkers in some sort of society that have prospered at one time and had eventually collapsed. I mean, hell, we can go see what one of my favorite political people, Marcus Tullius Cicero, the quintessential Republican, and see what Cicero thinks and his philosophical beliefs on government. So this is what our founding fathers did. They looked at all these forms of government before, pros and cons, as well as free thinkers and philosophers, and then they came up with our form of government. Now, the Articles of Confederation didn't work, so they got back together and they coming up and made sure they had the Bill of Rights. If you really want to do yourself a service, read the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers and see the pros and cons about why they instituted the Bill of Rights. Let me tell you what, that alone is worth a scholarly research. because it really starts to drag home. Because if you take off the Bill of Rights, the Constitution basically just says, this is the form of government, this is how it's going to be implemented. Whereas the Bill of Rights basically says, okay, fine, government, but this is what you can't do. Because everything is thou shalt not. So, yeah. So from a libertarian perspective, as this caller I called in, I would definitely agree with many of his arguments that the individuals should have the right to do whatever they want. Fine. But when there's enough individuals of the same flock, they're eventually going to have groupthink of some sort. Obviously, people, white people live in white neighborhoods. Black people tend to live in black neighborhoods, even though they don't want to, because they get robbed by their own people. And then some black people are successful, such as I had a thing going on here where some lady taught at the University of Dayton and retired and lived in Springboro, and we were trying to fight Meyer from trying to move in there. And I mentioned, well, we don't want this type of demographic coming here, because as soon as you build a store like Meyer, you're going to get people from like Middletown, which is drug riddled and crime riddled, coming up here to get jobs, and plus those people are going to shop at that store because it's in Springboro. So, I mean, you know, typically they bring their bullshit with them. And she didn't have a problem moving to a white neighborhood because she knew she wasn't going to get accosted or even possibly profiled because she drives a nice car. Yeah. Good luck with that. I know people who drive nice cars get pulled out of Springboro all the time because you know why? They think if you live in Springboro, you've got money. Even though most of these people don't have a pot to piss in, much less curtains to hang up in the windows and settlers walk because they want a nice $230,000 house that drives a Prius and mommy drives a fucking minivan to take the kids to soccer games. I mean, seriously, drive through there sometime, dude. They don't hardly have anything in their fucking house because they just want to have a nice house with a decent school system. And they don't have anything else they can afford. So, I mean, it's a fucking joke. So, but yeah, you go into ghetto neighborhoods, bars and windows, keep those fuckers out. So, yeah, that's a very serious issue and stuff. Again, and they prey on their own people. You don't see whites doing that unless they're, you know, they're fucking tweakers or some shit. We don't prey on our own people, dude. If anything, we'll try to help a neighbor out as long as they don't fucking piss us off. But, you know, I have a very simple rule, man. I don't mess with your yard. You don't mess with mine. But if you piss in my yard, I will cut your fucking willy off at the fence line, okay? You ain't going to piss in my grass anymore. Because I don't piss in yours. I sure as fuck don't want you pissing in mine. Now, is that a form of segregation? Yes. Because I don't want your nasty habits and affecting my green grass that I've spent time and money on making sure it's green. So, yeah. You discriminate between Coke, Pepsi, and fucking 7-Up, right? So why shouldn't you have a preference towards one group or another? It's that simple.